Hello, and welcome back, everybody, to episode number three of The Psyche Behind the Physique. Today, I'm Maddie Michelson, am here joined with Miss Claudia Mays, a good dear friend of mine. She is also a bikini competitor. And we are going to be talking on the topic of motivation, how to motivate yourself. So, Claudia, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy to have you.
Yes, Maddie, thank you so much. I always enjoy these conversations with you greatly. So I'm looking forward to diving into today's topic.
Cool. All right, guys. So, without further ado, we're just going to dive on in here. Motivation is something that I have been tapping into and exploring for a long time, not only as a competitor myself, but also as a coach for other athletes, right? The topic of motivation, the motivation in and of itself, we all want it, but we don't necessarily understand it. And so today we're going to be breaking down two truths about self-motivation that we really have to understand in order to hack it. When you're busy making plans to do what you want to do, when you're figuring out how to do it, it's so easy to feel motivated. I know that when I first got on a conversation with my very first coach, and they had said, "We're going to send you a meal plan, and you're going to get your workouts, and you're going to get your supplement recommendations," I spent $500 on my supplements. I didn't even bat an eye. I prepped all my meals. I got ready to go to the gym, and then Monday hit. And it was reality, right? And I had to take out my breakfast that was different from the breakfast that I had always been eating. I had to get to the gym. I had to choke down these pills. And it was like my motivation was nowhere to be found. Boom, right? Like you're not going anywhere. And so, I think that this happens to a lot of us. My second to last show, second to last national show, I was like, ready to get that pro card. I swore it was going to happen for me. And then all of a sudden, it felt like the wind was knocked out of my sails. I mean, and then all of a sudden, you're no longer incentivized. I was like, is this even worth it? Motivation goes out the door. Or maybe you're a new mom and you're so excited to your 6 week post-op or your 6 week post-delivery appointment to get cleared for exercise. All your friends are getting cleared who have had babies, and then you don't get cleared. And so, Claudia, is this something that you have ever experienced or you've seen? Is sort of how sometimes you feel like the motivation just gets taken away from you, and then all of a sudden it's just gone, nowhere to be found.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that we don't consider, right? When that wave of motivation hits us, we're ready to to conquer the world and do all the things. And I think that's where we set ourselves up right there, by wanting to do it all quickly. We don't think about the long-term effect or the importance of sustainability. And whenever we then, begin with these extreme measures, whether it's wanting to lose, I don't know, 20 pounds within a week or start a new job and move and do all the things at once, we're running out of just energy and that's not going to be sustainable. So we then set ourselves up for quote unquote failure if we then can't reach our goals.
Yeah.
So I
And
think it's something
I
that we
think not
all.
just overloading and overwhelming yourself, right? Like I think where a lot of people, and I found myself leading up into that last national show too, doing this, it was like I felt a tremendous amount of emotion when I was knocked down off of, I mean, my placings just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And in reality, in your head, logically, you're thinking they're going to get better and better and better. And I found myself almost like stifling that emotion, that frustration, that like guilt. And I think it's actually really healthy to allow your emotions to surface and to feel that feeling of like, oh shoot, this just got taken away from me. Because I think that it proves you're mentally healthy. It proves that you care about something, right? Like when you work hard for something and you don't get the result that you were looking for, that stings. And it's okay to feel what you have a right to feel. But the question that we're going to try to answer together today is what comes next? Because one of the hardest and most important skills in life is what you do after you've been rejected, or after you failed, or after you've ran into a barrier. How do you pick yourself back up and motivate yourself when you feel like you've been punched in the face? Because when this happens, and I can attest to this, and I'm sure you have an experience with this very thing too, it seems like everybody else around you is getting the news that you wish you would have gotten. I know that when I refer back to the pro card, but like when I didn't get that, all I could see on social media was other girls getting pro cards.
Right. It's 100% as important as it is to have a goal. But sometimes we don't, or we don't always have it figured out how to get there. Right. And so sometimes these rejections can be seen as redirection, whether it's a change of plan, a change of coach, a change of approach. And none of those things are a bad thing. In fact, it teaches us, to pivot, which is a very important skill to
And I
get
think,
the goal.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think being not necessarily being so rigid and set in your ways with your plans when things like that come up, because my story in and of itself is a testament to how I was really forced to pivot on my toes and kind of do a 180, hire a new coach and pick myself up back up and take a different approach to things. And I think the key in what we're discussing here before we kind of get to the whole how do we find motivation in these moments is that motivation is not always going to be there, right? Like the things that I would do in those moments when I am being challenged to redirect or whatever have you to just get motivation on tap, right? If I could wake up in the morning and pour myself a cup of motivation to go do my 30 minutes of cardio, I would do anything for that. But the reality is, it's not always going to be there. And so when you are confronted with something, some sort of failure or hiccup or barrier, and you're finding yourself stuck, I think it's really important whether it's pivoting, like you just alluded to, or whether it's taking a different path, that you recognize that what you do over the course of the next few days or the next few weeks or the next few months, that is what's going to set yourself up for the future, right? So I want to, as we move along here, kind of discuss our roadmap for helping our audience today find that motivation. I think step number one is going to be let's define motivation. So we're all on the same page. Then from there, we're going to talk about dopamine. I want to talk about how, we can't address motivation without first addressing dopamine. There's tons of science that supports the connection between the two. And then we're going to tie this all together and wrap up today with two strategies that are going to help you locate your self-motivation and bring your A game when you do get back up from a barrier. So first off, motivation. I would love to hear from you, like, what is your definition of motivation?
So the way I like to discuss it with my clients is motivation is an unloyal bitch. We cannot rely on it. As soon as you turn around, she'll stab you in the back. So it's nice when that wave of motivation hits us. So yeah, sure, let's ride it, but let's not wait for it or rely or even depend on it. It's not going to work.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Science would say that motivation is probably like our willingness to act in a certain way, right? But honestly, motivation is when you feel like doing something. And we know that that in and of itself, I mean, that for the purposes of our conversation, motivation is when you feel like doing something. And let me tell you what, when what motivation, a lack of motivation, that's when you don't feel like doing something. And both of those things, I mean, there's nothing to it beyond that. You either feel like doing it or you don't. And the reality about feelings is you're exactly right, Claudia. You can't rely on them. It's emotion. So,
And it's very short-lived too, right? We may like something one moment and not like it in the next moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in the context of fitness, is this, I mean, this is so true, right? One moment you're putting on your workout pants, you just met with your girlfriend who you envy because she's a double zero. She does Orange Theory classes every day. You get your ass to Orange Theory on Saturday morning, right? Saturday night hits, all the girls are going out on the town. Your other friend group texts you and they're pre-gaming at someone's apartment and then they're going out for five, six cocktails, and all of a sudden, Orange Theory girl's out the door, right? And that, Claudia, is it's a perfect opportunity for us to discuss dopamine. Dopamine in the context of self-motivation. So what dopamine is it's a neurotransmitter and it's a hormone that's involved in many aspects of our body's functioning. Researchers are talking about how dopamine plays this role in the reward system of your mind, and it's also known as the molecule of motivation. So there's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding about dopamine. Dopamine is not what keeps you motivated or gets you motivated. It's tied to cravings, it's tied to things that you want, and it's present to try to drive us towards things that we crave or towards things that we want to do. So an example of this, right? You get home from a long workout, you're starving, starving, ravenous. You get home, there's no steak in the fridge. And this is a perfect example. This actually happened to me this past week. I can see it actually outside as I look outside my apartment window. The sky is getting black. It happens every day around this time. And the sky was getting black and I wanted steak. So I went to the grocery store, I got my steak, I got home, I cooked it, and my stomach was audibly growling at this point because I was craving it. That dopamine, right? I needed that hit of dopamine. I made the steak. I got my steak. It was delicious. I looked over at the kitchen, motivation gone to clean. I mean, I had the cast iron skillet on the stove. I had my oil out. I had my knife out. I didn't care to clean it. And there's a lot of things, you know, it's like you're not craving to clean dishes. You're craving your food and you got it. Foods, studies, science show that foods that you like actually spike your dopamine by 50%. And there's a lot of things that spike dopamine that aren't healthy. The top list, the top seven are meth, cocaine, nicotine, sex, social media, video games, and sugar. We get motivated to find these things because we crave them. But what things, right, are not on this list? Stepping on a scale, getting exercise in, going for a walk, washing your shaker bottle. You know how many shaker bottles I've lost just sitting in the back seat of my car rotting with protein in them? So I don't care to clean up. And so that speaks to what you were just discussing, which is like this molecule of motivation, right? This dopamine. It's not going to rescue you when you don't feel like doing the work. It's a lovely feeling to have, but 99% of the time, you don't have the dopamine.
And I think we also have to distinguish between pleasure and happiness, because pleasure is driven by dopamine, right? And just like you outlined, it stimulates the reward center. And with that, it could lead to somewhat of a tolerance for this constant stimulation, which ultimately can, result in addiction in severe cases, of course. Hence why, your examples are legit, methamphetamine, all these drugs, but even social media, gaming, shopping, drugs, and you mentioned processed foods. So all those things stimulate that reward center. Whereas happiness, it's a completely different ball game. It's driven by serotonin, and something that I find fa fascinating, that 95% of our body's serotonin resides in the gut. I just find that, fascinating. Now, serotonin is triggered by acts of long-term satisfaction. So instead of us, leaving us wanting more and more, it leaves us grateful, appreciative of what we have. So there's a different sensation here between pleasure, which is activating, stimulating, short-lived. Happiness is long-lived, gives you that sense of calm, that delayed gratification. So I think it can be helpful to distinguish what is it really that we're experiencing, one, and what we're aiming for.
And I think something that we're going to get to, I'm definitely going to talk about this as we wrap up our call. And that is really just how actually obtaining the thing that you're chasing after oftentimes is not really what's going to give us that satisfaction. It's actually the goal that we set and the journey to obtaining it that gives humans the satisfaction, if you can believe that. I'm sure you can. But kind of, on the topic of motivation here and it just being fleeting, if you wait for motivation to strike in these moments, saying it's basically saying that it's never going to happen. And you can't allow your feelings to derail the actions that you need to take right now. And there are literally two things that I have found have completely unlocked my motivation and my ability to follow through when I don't feel like it or when I get knocked on my face. And step number one is simple. And if you're listening right now, write this one down. You must remind yourself why this matters to you. What do you want and why do you want it? And if you don't really want it, you're not going to feel anything. You're not going to feel motivated to get it or to get the work done to get it. And for an example, like I know in my heart that if I didn't do a pro debut, which I was really struggling to find the motivation for, but I knew that in my heart, if I didn't do it, I was going to look back and I was going to question, why did I get the pro card? What's the point if I never fully looked at how I stacked up in this new league? Right? You have to have this why behind your goals. The pro debut was honestly one of the last things that I felt like doing at that season in my life. I was really burnt out. But by doing it, it meant so much more to me. I was demonstrating that I cared about my character. And I did it because that's the type of person I wanted to be. I went for it simply because I knew that pursuing it was going to cause me to become a better version of myself. And have you ever, I mean, do you have experience with this? Maybe some time where you were chasing something and you really had to dig deep when that motivation wasn't there to find a why.
Right. I mean, it's constantly, right? We do a lot of things. If you look at the isolated task that we don't feel like doing. If I think about my academic career, so to speak. I mean, there were plenty of tests that I did not feel like studying for. I did not want to stay home and study versus, partying or not doing anything at all. But like you said, if we have a vision or a goal, or an ideal version of ourselves that we're working toward, and that we then know that this particular task is contributing toward. It could help us with that discipline that's needed, regardless of whether or not we're motivated to do the task. And ultimately, it will help move the needle. It will help move us toward the goal. And so one question I think that could also, help with those challenging moments when we don't feel like, washing our shaker bottles, like you said, or studying for the test or doing the cardio. Okay, what's the alternative? If I don't do this particular task at hand, what is that going to cause, or what is that going to lead me to feeling doing? Is that going to move me closer to my goal?
Well, and I think you just brought up two tremendously valuable points there. The first point that you brought up referenced how, doing these things can really make a big overarching goal, which I don't necessarily think goal may be the right term, maybe dream, but it can make a dream seem more tangible. And I always tell our athletes, dreams are there for direction. Right? They're not necessarily meant for you to achieve. You may or may not achieve them, but dreams set the direction. And that's a great thing, but it's not tangible. And so by chasing after these small things, it makes a dream a lot more tangible. And
And it gives you a sense of purpose. I think sometimes we don't find meaning in those seemingly meaningless tasks when
yeah.
we associate them with a goal or a vision or a dream, then it gives those seemingly meaningless tasks a bigger meaning.
Absolutely. If you don't know your why, you also are probably rather chaotic and disorganized, right? Because it's this figment then. It's like it's not, you can't touch it. If I want to get a pro card, that's great, but I'm not going to live out a life characteristic of someone who deserves a pro card in terms of my life being organized in such a way that it's going to facilitate that goal. If I don't have a why does it matter to me? Why makes the work that you're doing more important over the other things that are less essential? And when you know that something is important, you're going to get out of bed a little bit earlier, right? You're going to sacrifice other things. Doing your 30 minutes of cardio in the morning, I don't sit around. I don't wait to crave it. I don't wait to feel motivated. I push myself to do it because I have a why behind it. And my why is small for my cardio. It's that I don't feel like doing it in the evening, right? But that's kind of going back to drawing that contrast. What's the opportunity cost here if I don't get my butt up and do it? What is my why? Even for having that tough conversation with your partner or, reprimanding your kids, there's a why behind these things, or you wouldn't do them. And so maybe if you're, and this is me getting ahead of myself, but a topic that we're going to touch on next week is actually setting goals that really mean something to you. And if you can't find a why, maybe you're looking at the wrong goal. And so now you may have this why. Right? You may have this thing that's tangible, and you may say, "All right, I'm ready to get after it. I know exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing." And then Monday comes. Monday still comes, and you're not doing it, even though you know why you should. And so I want to now take our audience to step two. Remember, our first step here was you must remind yourself of why this matters to you. And the second step that we're going to talk about today is we're going to use Nike's tagline here. Everybody knows this tagline, and it's just do it. And I've asked people before, what word stands out to you in this tagline? It's funny, I'll get responses like do or it, right? It is great. It articulates what we're doing, it gives us something to anchor into. But actually, the most important word in that tagline is just. And when I really thought that over, just is that universal moment of hesitation, right? Just is like, it's the moment where you're standing like one foot in prep, one foot out of prep, right? One foot in a fat loss phase, one foot out. You've got your finger on the cursor to sign your contract to work with your new coach, and you're like, you know, like, am I good enough? Am I gonna fail? Is this a worthwhile investment? Right? That's the just. The just is significant in that it represents that hesitation that we feel. And all these emotions that you feel, they don't drive you, they don't motivate you. All they do is they drive you to hesitate. It's so easy, it's so safe to stand on the sideline. And this is what Nike refers to in that quote. It's how you and I stand on the sidelines and we wait. And Nike shows us in that quote that we're not motivated to do the things that feel scary or that make us question if we're good enough. But there is greatness for you to tap into. You just have to do it. You just have to do it. You've got your why now. So now you just do it. You have to push through that hesitation because the power here is in taking messy action.
And the commitment to that
Have
journey.
you, do, when you work with, yeah. I mean, I think a great analogy of this too is like when you go to sign a marriage license, right? Like as soon as that marriage license is signed, sugar, it's done. Right? Like it's this moment. There's probably that just do it moment there. I'm sure many of our listeners have had these just do it moments where it's that brief moment of hesitation. And this defines in and of itself what self-motivation is. Self-motivation is you understand what you need to do and why you need to do it, and you do the thing regardless of your emotion. That is what self-motivation is. You do it because you know why this matters. You know that the reason why it matters, because every single time that you push through hesitation or that lack of motivation, you're tapping into your greatness.
So I think, an important ingredient there has got to be self-trust to turn that brief moment of hesitation, or to prevent that brief moment of hesitation to become a long moment of hesitation where we start overthinking and go down the rabbit hole of self-deprecation and all the things. And so really dabbing into self-trust and self-belief and maybe some strategies that can help there is to remind ourselves of previous similar situations where we just went for it and committed to what seems to be an invisible force, right? But if you think about it, we believe in invisible forces all the time because self-doubt, that's invisible. Self-deprecation, that's invisible. But to some of us, it seems more comfortable simply because we've been engaging in those negative thoughts for so long that they've become familiar to us. But they're technically invisible. A lot of those thoughts can be classified as irrational, meaning we don't have any evidence for it. So why not trust an invisible force that can empower us, that can move us closer to our goal, that can, strengthen us, cause us to develop, grow, expand? They're both
Well,
invisible, but it's our choice.
I'm sure we have some people that are listening to this that are thinking of something that they've been hesitating on for some time now. And now all of a sudden they're like, they're shaking in their boots, right? They're sitting there thinking like, okay, hell yeah, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna do this. I know exactly what everyone in their mind listening to this has some type of goal. I'm even thinking of one, you know, that I've been kind of sitting on. And it leads me to really think about something that I tell a lot of the athletes that I work with. And that's like, you know, if you're gonna fail, fail at full speed. No motivation required. I don't preface this when I tell an athlete to do it by saying, when you're motivated, fail at full speed. If you're gonna fail at full speed, you're not gonna wait until you feel motivated, right? Like we talk about ethos. This is an ethos thing. Do you want to be like, I would want to be the kind of person that when I commit to something, I go all in. I don't hesitate and cower on the sidelines, especially when I have an articulated why. As soon as I knew why I was getting that pro card, oh honey, nothing stopped me. And so I want to be known, especially our identity to ourselves, I personally think is the most important, not how other people see us. And I want to know in my heart that if I were to fail at getting something like a pro carder, if I were to fail on a fat loss phase or in a health phase or whatever it may be, that I failed giving it my best shot, trying as hard as I absolutely could. I would much rather do that, fail, going full speed ahead and giving everything my all, than being regarded by others as a success, having cut corners.
Yeah, failing forward basically, right? Because we really don't learn much from winning. The toughest lessons, the most valuable lessons come from the losses. So they're not failures. They're very valuable in the grand scheme of things. Of course, it stings in the moment. It sucks. It's not a fun experience, but it's valuable, very valuable.
And we won't always fail, right? Like 90% of the time, you're going to succeed. But I think too, as we start to talk about going at something at full speed, I want to say that too with a grain of taking, our audience, I want that them to take that with a grain of salt. You have to slow down to some degree before you put your foot on the accelerator, right? Like being clear about the direction that you're going in is way more important than going at something full throttle. I know of so many athletes right now, and I'm not going to name names, I'm not that type of person, but like I know of a lot of people who are kind of aimlessly meandering in all sorts of directions. And it's like if you would just stop for a second and get a little bit of clarity on the direction you want to go, you could take off. But you can't go at something full speed unless you get clarity on the direction and on the purpose. And I think the other thing too is full speed may also mean slowing down. Full speed may mean slowing down to understand what you want and why. Like we talked about our step one. And then once you figure out what you want and why, it means giving your best effort at this thing that you want. You want it, so now you have the motivation for it, right? But then there's gonna be days. I'm not gonna, release this podcast with rose-colored glasses on. There's gonna be days where you're all to put toward this goal that you're fired up for, your all is gonna be 20%. But if 20% effort is all that you have today, and you give your 20% effort, that's full speed. That's full speed for today. Only you know how much you have to give today. Only you know that you're giving it your all. And you also know when you're standing on the sidelines and you're not just doing it.
Right. And also, appreciating the entire journey as it's unfolding. You know, we sometimes have this idea that life happens when we get the pro card or when we have the partner or when we move into the house or when, we think it's in the distant future somewhere. When in reality, if you think about it, it's in these little moments that are happening right now. That's the life, not somewhere far from us. So appreciating all these moments as they're unfolding and as we're dedicating ourselves to our journey and to our growth, again, regardless of the motivation, but just being dedicated to the process and respecting the process for what it is.
And wouldn't you say too that you have a lot more appreciation for something when you are going full speed ahead in like we, you know, in the context that we just defined full speed, whether that's 20% or 30%, I truly believe in my heart of hearts on this journey, on this health journey that I am on, this ceaseless journey, I really do wake up every single day. And in this facet of my life, not always in my relationships, right? Not always in every facet of my life, but in regards to my health, I wake up every single day and I go full speed ahead. And sometimes full speed ahead is 30% because 30% is all I have to give. Sometimes it's just a walk. Sometimes taking care of my health means ordering takeout. It really does. But I never let 1% be left on the sideline because I have such a clear, articulated purpose for why it's important to me to prioritize my health, knowing that at some point in my life was almost taken away from me by myself, but I almost lost my life. And so my why every single day is to give back my body what I took away from it.
Because those
And this is
experiences,
all you need when it comes down to motivation.
yes, 100%. And those experiences that you just described, those key moments put everything in perspective and are such a good reminder again for why we do the things we do in the present. And to look back at those hard challenges that we've overcome, because us being here now proves that we've overcome every challenge that we've ever encountered.
Absolutely. You know, I hope that our listeners right now are feeling motivated and feeling encouraged. And I guess motivation isn't even the word to use anymore because we know for a fact that motivation is not always going to be there, but you just need two things. If you're listening to this right now, anytime I don't feel like doing anything or something, right? The dishes, the shaker bottle, the cardio, the posing, the stomach vacuums. Oh, the stomach vacuum.
The
It's the blood work. When I
worst.
don't feel like doing it, I just stop and ask myself, why in the hell does this matter? That alone, that's going to summon the clarity that you need to cut through the emotions so you can do what's next. And so from there, stop waiting around to feel like it. Motivation is not coming. If it's not something you crave, dopamine is not going to help you either. Dopamine is like your ditzy sister. She's not coming to this party. And now you know the second step from there, right? You've got your why. You know why you want it. You know why this matters to you. Then you've got the 5-second rule. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just do it. And from there, you fail at full speed. And I guarantee you, 99.9% of our listeners who are listening to this podcast episode and are writing down these actionables and they're committed to this goal and they know their why and they're gonna chase after it and they're gonna just do it and then they're gonna full speed ahead, they're not gonna fail. It's just a matter of diving in and ripping that Band-Aid off. And so next week, we are going to dive headfirst into goal setting, how to set actionable goals. And then the following week after that, we're going to do a two-part series on goal setting. We're going to be talking about the hangups and barriers that I have ran into in setting goals that I thought I wanted for myself in my career and on my journey. So I hope that everybody will tune in to those episodes that are coming. Claudia, thank you so much for being on this episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back soon.
Thank you, Maddie. I appreciate you greatly.
You too.